Hey friend, welcome to the Ashley O Show. My name is Ashley O'Connor and I started this podcast when I became a nurse because I wanted a space where I could be honest about my experience caring for others. I knew I couldn't be alone. I'm talking about the fear, the obstacles, the trauma, and the challenges of working insane shifts, learning more than I thought possible, witnessing the most heart-wrenching and the most beautiful moments in a life, and doing it all while trying to take care of myself. Everyone said it was impossible to be healthy as a caregiver and I just refused to accept that as a reality. Now, I am living as a registered nurse turned health, fitness, and career coach for my fellow nurses and caregivers who are trudging through the same mud, trying to solve the mystery of how to stay healthy in a world that is telling you to put yourself last. The Ashley O Show is a space where nurses and caregivers come together to understand that their identity extends beyond the humans that they care for, where the hardest workers in the room can have honest and authentic conversations about what is holding them back and the changes needed to move forward. I am here to help you fit nutrition, fitness, and self-care into a life built around 12-hour shifts. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's definitely going to be scary, but it's also going to be more beautiful than you ever imagined. So it's time we commit to putting ourselves first, chasing uncertainty, and building stronger lives, careers, bodies, and minds than we thought possible. I'm so glad that you're here, and I cannot wait to see the ways in which we change the world. What's up, my friends? I am recording this episode just on the couch today, which is not the norm. I'm usually at my desk, I'm usually prepared, and I know what I'm going to talk about and everything else. And I do know what I'm talking about today, but it's going to be really casual. And this is kind of one of the last episodes of this podcast. So we're going to be wrapping it up over the next few weeks, I would guess, because I want there to be a seamless transition. Before you panic, this podcast is going to end, but I'm just starting a brand new one. So you can just go over and listen to the new one. It's going to launch kind of like right after this one ends. So there'll be no gap. That was always my plan. And honestly, the reason we're doing this, let me talk about it. A couple reasons. So the first is that we've kind of started fresh in every way. So if you're following over on Instagram, which I hope that you are, we have started a brand new community there. So we were the Ashley O Show for a fair amount of time. And before that, we were the nursing co-op. So things kind of changed. We pivoted a number of times. Who we served changed for a period of time. And that's all part of the journey of becoming an entrepreneur and starting a business and figuring out who you serve. Like, that's part of it. But guess what? Algorithms don't love when you do that. So on Instagram, for example, when you change who you serve or you try and change who your messaging is for and you try and pivot, it's really hard for Instagram to kind of understand that. If we want to kind of personify the algorithm, it doesn't make sense for it. And so sometimes it really stunts your growth. And I've sat on that for a little while. Over the past year or so, I was just monitoring. I'm like, are we going to grow? Are we going to grow? Kind of giving it time. And after enough time, I was like, you know what? We are kind of stuck in our growth phase. We aren't growing. We sort of hit a plateau, which, you know, we talk about weight loss and a health journey on this podcast all the time. You guys understand plateaus. We hit a plateau when it came to our Instagram community. And the numbers aren't everything. I freaking love and I'm so honored by each of you who are here. And that's why I want you to follow us over on our new page. But it does matter when it comes to trying to increase your reach, trying to increase your impact. I want to help as many nurses as I possibly can. And being kind of stunted in our growth was not helping that happen. So anyways, we flipped over. We are no longer the Ashley O Show. It is now Health Coach for Nurses is our platform on Instagram. If you're not following already, please do. I'm really excited because we kind of just started over and we're almost at 100 followers now, which it's funny going backwards and kind of starting from zero, but I fully intend to celebrate every single milestone as we start fresh, because that was a really scary thing to decide to do, to start from zero. So please, please come over to Instagram and follow at Health Coach for Nurses. But because we kind of revamped and totally started everything from scratch there and started a new website and all the things, I thought, you know what? It's time to do the same thing in the podcast. Because as much as this is not an Instagram algorithm that we're playing with, there is an algorithm in podcasting too. And when you pivot and change who you speak to, that can kind of change your reach as well. So I just thought, gosh, if we're starting fresh there, let's just burn it down and start fresh everywhere. And I'm saying that laughing because this was something I sat on for a really long time. This is one of those gut feelings that I fought with because it's really scary. It's really scary to start over and start from zero. And I've pivoted in my life enough times to know what it feels like to be a beginner over and over again. And it's not my favorite, but I know that it's the right choice, because even in our few weeks that we've kind of been starting over, the growth that I've seen is so aligned and it's so cool to watch. It's so fun to watch our numbers kind of go up steadily and see new faces come into the community and have you guys engage with content and like things and ask me questions in my DMs again. Like, it's my favorite thing. And it reminds me of when I first started out. So sometimes starting from scratch is the right choice. And that's sort of what it feels like. Anyways, this is not the point of this episode, but I do really, of course, want to keep you in the loop on what's going on in this podcast. So we are kind of entering into the season where this is going to be our last few episodes of The Ashley O Show. And we are going to start fresh with a new podcast called Healing Healthcare. And I'm really excited. I'm so excited about the name. Everything feels perfect. It feels aligned. Honestly, I toyed with like, oh, Health Coach for Nurses podcast, because why not have continuity? And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. The podcast is not about me. The podcast is not about me being a health coach. It's about you guys. It's about healthcare. And it's about making change, sustainable change for every single healthcare worker out there. And honestly, challenging the system itself too. So the Healing Healthcare podcast is going to be coming probably within the month. I want to have it launched in June. As soon as this podcast puts out its last episode, I want a new episode, or the first episode on Healing Healthcare, coming out the following week, so that there is zero gap and you guys can just keep on listening as you are right now. And if you are not, like I said, go follow over at Health Coach for Nurses, because I really am going to be asking you guys feedback on the podcast art and the cover and the song. Like, I want to bring you guys in this process with me, because I cannot express it. I know I've already said it in this podcast episode, but for those of you, some of you have been here for so long. Some of you have been here since this thing kicked off in July of 2020. Like, that's insane. And it's such an honor. I can't even find my words. I would normally cut this out and re-record it, but I'm not going to. I'm just so honored that anyone would listen. Because in July of 2020, when I put this thing out there, I was a brand new nurse, had no idea what I was doing in the ICU, was freaking terrified because it was COVID and I was scared. And also I just had human lives in my hands and wasn't fully prepared for that. Any new grads, you know what I mean. But I was putting this podcast out and I was like, who the hell is going to listen to me? Who on earth is going to spend time listening to an episode that I put out into the world? And you guys have been here this whole time. And gosh, that just means so much. And like I said, this is not going anywhere. We're just transitioning. We're just kind of starting fresh. And instead of just changing the name on this podcast and confusing everyone, I just want to start new. And I'm really excited. Okay, the other big news, the other thing that I really wanted to talk about today, kind of what I intended to talk about when I hit play before talking for 8 minutes about something else altogether, was that as I'm recording this in real time, so I'm recording this Sunday, May 19th, it's coming out tomorrow, Monday, May 20th, so if you're listening to it in real time, then you're listening to it on Monday, May 20th, but Sunday, May 19th, today, is 1 year since I stopped drinking alcohol. And that's wild. It's insane to me. I'm really proud. I'm really proud of myself. And I wanted to talk about it because I know that alcohol and nursing kind of go together in a lot of ways. And for some of you, you may have a perfectly healthy relationship with alcohol and have no problem at all. And this episode might not be for you if you don't relate to struggling with your relationship with alcohol in any way. Now, I want to preface this by just saying that I never felt like I really met the diagnostic criteria of alcoholism. Like, I was never having strong cravings for it, especially like during the day. It wasn't interfering with my ability to do my job or my personal life. It wasn't causing problems in my life. I wasn't having withdrawal symptoms. Like, I wasn't fitting that criteria, but my relationship with alcohol was not healthy. And that kind of evolved since I started drinking at all. And I sort of talked about this a little bit on the episode where I talked about my decision to stop drinking, but I want to cover it again here in case somebody needs to hear it because maybe you can relate. But I honestly really started drinking when my family and friends and kind of society in general kind of pressured me into drinking. Like, it was weird that I wasn't by the time I was reaching my college years. And I had experimented, like I had had alcohol before then, and I never really liked how it made me feel. So I wasn't really interested in it. But then that became weird as I got older to not drink. Like, it was like, you're going to college, like, what, you don't drink? Like, you have to drink. Like, that's so weird. Just try this, try this, try this. Everyone wanted me to try all of these things to find what I would like. And the first thing I liked was Moscato wine. Like, that's how I got into drinking any sort of alcohol at all, because it's basically juice, as you all know. And I don't want to paint this as like my family made me drink. Like, that's not true. But it was just a societal thing. Like, it's getting better nowadays, but for a really long time, it was like very weird if you didn't drink. So when I first started drinking, it was really a great tool for me as somebody who struggled a lot with social anxiety in my undergrad years. For the first couple of years, I didn't drink, and then I started drinking. And before I started drinking, I was chain smoking. I don't think I've talked about this on this podcast, but I used to smoke cigarettes for, I don't know, a few years maybe. But that was also a social crutch for me. That was a way that I could talk to people, because I really struggled for a long time to make any friendships, to make any relationships, to just talk to strangers. I really had a hard time with social anxiety. And so I found when I like smoked cigarettes outside, for example, that suddenly people would come talk to me because they'd like bum a cigarette, or they'd like come chat while we're smoking. And that was such an easy way for me to connect with people. And so that was sort of my crutch for a period of time. And then I started drinking, and that became a really great tool to talk to people, because it cured my social anxiety, right? Because it decreases your inhibitions, and like, you don't have to worry about all of the like replaying every conversation in your head and what you might say wrong. Like, you're not thinking about that because you're drunk, right? Or you're buzzed or whatever. So it worked really well to help kind of take those walls down and allowed me to connect with people. And for a while, it just kind of skated by with that relationship with alcohol, that it just kind of opened me up and actually allowed me to make friends. And those friendships were primarily based around alcohol, but they were still friendships. And that was something I didn't have for a long period of time. And fast forward a number of years, like, I quit smoking. I wasn't drinking all that much, just socially. But as I kind of entered into adult world and graduated and got a job that I hated, and like everyone else, kind of entered that sort of adult phase of life and the stress that comes with it, and had to deal with bills that weren't getting paid and moving back in with my mom, with my boyfriend, and all of the things that I think happened to so many of us, alcohol became a social thing, but also became a stress reliever. And that's also not uncommon. As I'm like painting this picture, I feel like it already sounds like I have a bad issue with alcohol. And at this point in my life, as I'm experiencing it, I didn't think I did, and nobody else did. It wasn't weird. It was not strange to come home from work and feel like, oh my God, I need a drink. Like, how many of us have said that? It wasn't strange to go into a social setting and be like, oh my God, a drink is just going to like loosen me up and then I'll have fun. Like, that's not abnormal and that's not weird. And I think that is something we should just examine. The fact that that's not weird. The fact that we feel like we need this like lubrication or like liquid courage to live, to do life in general, or to have fun, or to let down our walls, to be vulnerable, to make friendships and connect. Like, we shouldn't need that. That shouldn't be as normal as it is. Anyways, so I just kind of continued like that for a period of time. Nothing too crazy. Again, it wasn't interfering with my ability to do my job or my relationships or anything like that. It was just drinking like literally everyone else did in society. And in the back of my mind, I always had this voice or this feeling like, this doesn't feel right. Why do I need this in order to connect with people, in order to have fun in social settings, in order to make friendships? Like, why is this part of it? It was always in the back of my mind, this narrative that I was like, maybe this is odd, but kept going because that's what was normal. And also because, like, let's be honest, it was just fun. It was a fun thing to do in my 20s. And when I moved to Tucson, it was a great way that I made friends. Like, we would go out for drinks and have a blast. Like, I have so many beautiful memories that had alcohol involved in them because I made real connections. And it doesn't mean I was blackout drunk every time, but alcohol was just kind of a part of my life for a really long time. But a year ago today was the last time that I drank because it's my birthday weekend. So next Wednesday, or I guess a few days from now when this comes out, May 22nd, is my birthday. And so a year ago, we were going out on the weekend to kind of celebrate. It was after work. I think it was on a Friday, maybe. Does that sound right? I think it was on a Friday or Saturday. So we had like worked or done things for most of the day. And then we went to like a happy hour as soon as the evening began and started drinking. And it was a whole night of drinking. And I got to a point where I was definitely drunk, but I lost my wallet. This was my like final straw. This was not the first time I lost my wallet. And guess what? How many times I've lost my wallet since I stopped drinking? Zero times. But I couldn't find my wallet. We were about to go into another bar. We had just left one and we're going into another. And I realize I need my ID and I can't find it. And I know that I've lost my wallet. So we kind of retrace our steps and I'm already berating myself, just beating myself up in my head. Because I caused this and I'm so mad at myself for doing this again. And I have so much shame and guilt. And that is what my relationship with alcohol had kind of evolved into. I felt so much shame and guilt around the times that I was drinking because I just forgot stuff or I was even more flighty or I couldn't remember the good things that happened the night before, or the conversations I had. And I would wake up every time with just this like guilt and anger at myself for doing it again. And I would have that conversation that many of us have with ourselves, like, I'm not going to drink this time, or this weekend, I'm not going to drink, like, it's not happening. And then you get to the weekend and you just do it anyway. Or you get to a place where you start Googling things like, does this make me an alcoholic? You know, that like innocent Google search that some of us do. And if that's you, if you've ever Googled that, again, you're not alone. Even if you don't fit the diagnostic criteria for alcoholism, that doesn't mean that questioning your relationship with it is not warranted. So if you're relating to any of this, maybe this is you too, and you would like to go on a journey like this. If you do, just reach out to me. You don't have to do it publicly. You can send me a message, but I'd love to connect and just chat about it if it's something that's bothering you or it's something that's on your mind. But this evening, I lost my wallet and we retraced our steps and somehow found it. I left my whole jacket and hoodie and I think it had my earbuds and like all the stuff in the pockets, valuables, and my wallet and my phone maybe were in there. So we find them and I am very, very, very upset that I've done this again. So much shame. And I'm like, I'm ordering an Uber. I'm going home right now. Everyone else is still going out and I'm encouraging my husband, like, just go out, just ignore me. I'm so mad at myself. I order an Uber, get in the Uber, and I get home and I proceed to leave my wallet in the car again. So I lost my wallet twice. That night I woke up in the morning in a panic, realizing that I didn't have my wallet still and I had to call or like try and find the Uber driver and message them. And they were so sweet and gracious and dropped off my wallet and acted like I wasn't a complete mess. But that was kind of it. As I was approaching my 31st birthday and I'm like, this is my birthday weekend. I'm supposed to be happy and excited and I'm not. I feel so terrible about myself and I'm so tired of this feeling. I'm so tired of waking up and feeling shame and feeling like a wreck and feeling like I don't have control of this and feeling like I'm afraid of my relationship with alcohol and feeling like I don't know how I'm going to give it up. Like that sort of level of, I don't want to say dependency, but my relationship with it was very much like, I need this in my life. Like, how can I have fun without it? How can I do this? How can I do life really without alcohol? And that really bothered me that was even a thought that crossed my mind. And that's, again, that's not uncommon. There are so many people out there who feel like it's impossible to let go of because it's just such an integral part of our lives and everyone's lives. Like, it's just everywhere. Like, it's amazing how many bars we have, how many breweries we have. And don't get me wrong, I loved all that. But it's everywhere. Every meal, every social situation you go out to, every party has that. Every baby shower, I feel like, or like wedding celebration, like literally everything just has alcohol all the time. And so it's kind of hard to think about life without it. You go through this period of time where you feel like, oh my God, am I going to be extremely boring? Am I going to have no fun anymore? Are people going to pity me? Are people going to feel like I had a problem and like, oh, I was hiding it? Like, oh, this is a big secret. Like, are people going to judge me? That all went through my head at least. But I kind of made this decision that it was time to see what life would be like without it. And that was not an easy one because I'd done things like 75 hard, I'd done whole 30 or whatever, I'd like given it up for periods of time. And each time I did that, I always looked forward to the day that I could drink again and eat sugar and all the other things again because it kind of all went hand in hand. But I'd never given it up for an indefinite period of time. And that's what this is to me. I don't know if I'll ever drink alcohol again because right now I am so happy without it. I can say that so confidently a year later is that it was the right decision. And it was one of the best decisions that I've ever made in my life. Because even if I wasn't an alcoholic yet, I wonder if I would have become one, or if I would have just screwed up my relationships or just self-sabotaged because I felt so terrible about myself every time that I was past the point of control when I like was drunk, right? I always beat myself up, like really just tore myself to shreds every time that happened. And so I wouldn't be surprised if like 5 years from now, if I was still going in the direction that I was, that maybe I wouldn't have been like a full-blown like alcoholic or something like that, ended up in jail or whatever. I don't think that would have happened. It's not like I ever was drinking and driving or doing anything extremely reckless or unsafe. But I wouldn't be surprised if I just berated myself so much that my self-esteem got so low that I self-sabotaged, that I just ruined my relationships, or maybe just questioned my, like Daniel's love for me or my friend's care for me or something, like just tried to push people away because of that, because I just tore myself down so much. I feel like that could have happened, but that didn't, because I'm here. I know I didn't have to recount that whole thing, but I think I needed to process it again a little bit because it's been a little while since I thought about it. This past year, I would say the first month or two, I can't even remember. I'd have to look back at my journal, but there was a hard period of time. There was definitely an adjustment where it was a little bit more difficult. I think the first few social things felt really scary because I didn't want to bring attention to it. I didn't want to make it like a big thing. Like I didn't need to announce to everyone like, oh, I'm not drinking, by the way. Because I also don't want to make other people feel bad for drinking. Like that's not the point of this. I don't think that it's bad that if you're listening to this and you enjoy alcohol, like that, I don't think that's bad. Like, please enjoy alcohol. If you have a healthy, happy relationship with it, it's such a beautiful thing. I mean, gosh, I loved like going to a winery and doing a tasting or certain cocktails, Negroni, my favorite cocktail, or doing like bourbon tastings with my brother. He's a big bourbon guy. Like I loved all of that. And that part was really beautiful. And I think that's one of the things that I do miss at times is trying out all of these breweries and wineries and like cool distilleries. Like I loved that. But sometimes when you like announced to the world, like, I'm not drinking anymore, and you like proclaim this or tell all your friends or whatever. Or I didn't want that because I didn't want anyone to feel weird drinking around me, or I didn't want it to feel like I was being self-righteous, or I don't know. This is probably just a self-esteem issue. But I didn't want to make it a big deal because I needed this to be mine. I needed this journey to be mine. And I needed it to be my choice and not because I just told everyone I wasn't going to drink. I needed it to be because I didn't want to anymore. Because that's one thing, right? In the health world and like at the weight loss world, right? We often talk about, oh, you need accountability partners and, you know, rope people in because they'll hold you accountable. And love that for weight loss journey or like just trying to fit fitness in, like get an accountability partner. Research tells us that that's a beautiful way to do this. But for this journey, I had to do it myself, because if I brought in an accountability partner and I ever felt tempted or I ever wanted to drink or whatever, and I reached out to that person, I think this could have easily become about somebody else trying not to let somebody else down when I needed this to be about not letting myself down, that I needed this to be about me and my own journey. I needed to heal because I wanted to heal. And that's where I find myself now. I can 1000% be around alcohol whenever. Like, I have zero issue with that. I have found actually that being back in Tucson is probably the most triggering place for me. It's not bad. Like, I don't think I've ever been like, I'm gonna drink or whatever. But every time I go downtown, I think it's probably because this is the place where I made so many friends and we would go out dancing and drinking and all these things a lot, that I just associate downtown with drinking and a good night out. And that's not what we're doing right now. So sometimes when we're downtown, I'm like, ooh, I feel that a little in my body, like this nostalgic feeling, like I miss that kind of. But in general, zero issue being around alcohol. I feel like I decided to give up alcohol in such a privileged and fortunate time, because everyone is doing non-alcoholic brews and cool mocktails, and there's so many things to try. And that's been really fun, because now I can look forward to like, ooh, Daniel, let's go out for a drink. And I actually just will order a mocktail and he orders a cocktail, or we go out to a brewery and they probably, or a bar, and they probably have some type of non-alcoholic beer that I can taste or try and enjoy. Or I just get like a Topo Chico in a glass bottle, because that feels like luxury to me. It feels like the best thing ever. But whatever it is, I am finding new ways to have fun without it. And that has been probably the biggest journey of the year, is figuring out how to do that, figuring out how to still have just as much fun, if not more, without alcohol. So that's been a big part of this past year. And I think the other big chunk of it is getting to know myself again in a lot of ways, like getting to know Ashley without alcohol. Because I think in a lot of ways, alcohol was like a way for me to shape shift. That sounds really odd to say out loud, but as someone with social anxiety and someone who's pretty introverted, I hate small talk. I can't tell you how many parties or things I went to where I didn't know very many people, and alcohol was the only thing that got me through it, because it would allow me to feel like I was actually interested in the thing that some stranger was telling me. And this is not like because I don't like people. I love people. It's because small talk makes my brain want to explode. Like, I hate talking about the weather or talking about what happened at work that day or whether you like your job or not. Because most of the time when you're just having the small talk version of that conversation, it's a lie. It feels like a lie. And I can read people pretty well. So when I'm talking to you about like, ooh, do you like your job? And you're like, yeah, you know, it's a good job, pays bills, blah, blah, blah. Like you're going off on something. I'm like, you don't like it. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about why you're mad at your dad right now. I want to talk about like what your dreams are and why you're not pursuing them. Like I want to talk about much deeper things with people that I meet who I connect with. And otherwise I don't want to talk. I really don't. And for those of you who have like connected with me in real life and I've had the privilege to hop on a call with or meet in person, you probably know this, because we've probably literally just dug into what your dreams are, why you're not pursuing them, like how I could support you, like getting you hyped up or talking about things that are hard, or like, you know that I don't do the surface level talk. And honestly, that's part of pretty much every interaction with people for the first like 2 minutes. And I understand that, I can get through that. But if I'm at a party and I don't know anyone and I have to circle around the room and connect with people on a surface level, oh, I want to stab a fork in my eye. Like, I hate it. And alcohol was a really great way for me to mask hating that. Like, because I could drink a little bit and then I could chit chat with anyone about nothing, because my brain no longer cared about connecting really deeply in that way. Or it just made it so that I didn't feel as anxious about having to endure small talk. And so over this past year, I've had to learn how to navigate that without it. And sometimes what I've learned is that I have to be like, I don't want to go to that. I just don't want to do it. Sometimes there have been gatherings where I know there's going to be a lot of alcohol and a lot of people I don't know. And I know that there's going to be a lot of small talk, and I just choose not to go. because not because I don't love the people or not because I don't want to meet them, but because I know that I'm going to have to just engage in a bunch of small talk and everything's going to feel so inauthentic. It's going to feel so phony. And that's what drives me insane. That's why I don't like small talk. Actually, I'm realizing this pretty much on air here, but I don't like it because it feels inauthentic. It feels like a lie. It feels like we're just like pretending. And I know that that's not what it is. I know it's just kind of like a social nicety because I'm not meant to deeply connect with every single person that I meet in my life. I know that, but I hate it. I hate social niceties. I hate the things in society that are just like the things that we're supposed to do or like the way that we do stuff, societal norms, like just be polite. Like I hate all of that. And alcohol was a really great way for me to just kind of suck it up and deal with it. And now I just don't. Now I just either tolerate it for a short period before I leave something that I don't want to be at, or I just say I don't want to go. And that's been really cool. I have set more boundaries and said no to more things this year than I have probably in my whole life, because I would just kind of suck it up as a people pleaser and just say, you know what, I should go and I'll just have a drink and it'll be fine, like whatever. And then it would turn into a whole night where I was inauthentic the whole night and I would feel so drained the next day, because that is the most exhausting activity that I can possibly do, is pretending to care and pretending to be somebody else or pretending that I have actually absorbed the information about your Aunt Mildred and her like toenail surgery that you're telling me about. Like, I don't care. I'm not going to remember that. And now I just don't have to. My brain doesn't have to go through that activity. And that feels way better because I've built a community of real relationships that aren't based on alcohol, that are so vulnerable and have so much depth. And honestly, let's call that the greatest gift of this year, is I think that I have built stronger relationships and deeper connections than I ever have, probably in my life. And I met some of my female friends that I cherish so much now. I met them before I stopped drinking, some of them, but the depth of those relationships has increased this year because I let people see me. I let people see who I actually was. And that took time. It did not happen as soon as I stopped drinking. But I would say, honestly, over the past few months, maybe like 5 months or so, that I've opened up more than I have in my whole life to people. And I've let myself be seen, even the parts of myself that I don't think are really great, the parts of myself that I have hid in the past that I don't think are cool or worthy or enough. I've let people see those things. And it means that I've built real relationships. And I think part of the reason we're kind of starting from scratch here too. Not that I've ever been inauthentic online. I actually feel pretty comfortable being myself. But I think I do avoid showing the goofy parts of myself sometimes online. And on this podcast, I question myself a lot. So, you know, as I see this episode even approaching 34 minutes, I'm like, oh my God, I'm long-winded. Like, nobody's going to listen to this. This is, like, why am I rambling on? Like, I still question a lot of that. But I think starting from scratch with everything is my own permission slip to just own it all. Own the parts of myself that I don't think people will really enjoy very much, that I worry sometimes people might find annoying or self-indulgent or too much or too talkative or whatever, or weird or opinionated. I get scared of that a lot. But I think we're just going to own it. I think that's the plan. Well, if you're listening to this in real time, Monday, May 20th, in 2 days, I'm moving to Denver, Colorado, getting on a plane and moving officially and putting down real roots. We don't know how long it's going to be for, like, because I think nomad life has taught us that we can change our mind. So we're not like, we're living here forever for the next 40 years. Like, that's not in our brains, but it's sort of like, yeah, probably for at least 3 years and then we'll see where we are. So everything is changing and I couldn't be more excited about that. For many years, I think change was just something I accepted. Like, I'm like, oh, change is going to suck, but it's necessary and it's going to bring new stuff. So, like, I'll just deal with it. But in this season, I am chasing change with excitement. Like, I am so pumped. I'm so looking forward to starting fresh in Denver and building real routines that can last more than 3 months and real connections and friendships that are in person again. And starting over on the podcast and on Instagram and just owning that this is a fresh start and celebrating 100 followers on Instagram and celebrating the first 50 downloads that'll happen on the podcast and celebrating every milestone as I start from zero once more, because I don't think I did that. I don't think I did it the first time because I was just chasing more. I was just chasing the next thing. Like, I just wanted to hit this many followers or this many downloads, and then I would celebrate. But I never did, because I then would just be chasing the next thing. Because as soon as I hit 10,000 downloads, somebody else was hitting 30. As soon as I hit 40,000 downloads, somebody else was hitting 1,000,000. And I was like, why can't I do that? As soon as I made my first big paycheck as an entrepreneur, I was comparing it to somebody else's who made 6 figures in 6 months, even though I was 6 months in and I wasn't making 6 figures yet. Like, I was just worried about how I compared to everybody else. And I never measured up, because you will never measure up if you are constantly comparing yourself to the world, because there's always going to be somebody better than you. And there's always going to be someone who wishes they were where you are right now. And I just only thought about that. And so this time around, I don't really care. I don't care who's hitting 1,000,000 right now. I don't care who has 1,000 new followers today or who is making 6 figures in 6 months. That's not my concern. I'm celebrating you if that's you. Like, that's amazing. Congratulations. But I am just going to celebrate this. I'm going to celebrate the fact that I made a decision a year ago as someone who felt like they were completely unreliable and flaky and always changed their mind. I made a decision a year ago and I'm here a year later, having kept a real promise to myself. And I'm so proud of that. Like, I'm really cool. I don't give myself enough credit, but I have changed my mind 1,000,000,000 times and have started over and still have been successful each time I do it. And that's a pretty cool skill. Like, kudos to you if you've stayed at a job for 40 years straight and you're the expert, but also kudos to you if you kept changing your mind and this is your third career like it is mine and you're still just figuring it out, but you always do. Like, kudos to you if you can figure out any situation, even if it feels terrifying. So let's just celebrate ourselves more, like, because that's what I'm doing today. As I enter my 32nd year on this planet, in a couple days, I'm going to turn 32, and I love it. I love my 30s. I would never wish it away. I don't want to go back to my 20s. I love it here. I love that I am learning how to trust myself and learning who I actually am in my core. Like, it's the coolest thing I've ever done. So anyways, this was meant to be a short coffee chat thing, but you guys know me at this point. We don't do short. I'm going to really try on the new podcast, guys. I really, really am. I'm going to put together real outlines and stuff and make it so that you guys can digest it. Maybe have periodic longer episodes where I just ramble. But for now, you're in this season of me and you're here. So I appreciate you if you've made it this far in this episode. If you take anything away from this, it's to celebrate whatever you should be celebrating this week, whether that's your first IV poke on the first try, or hanging up a bag of fluids without spilling it all over yourself, or landing that job that you really wanted, or just having that hard conversation with that family member, or just getting a paycheck this week, or maybe it's working out one day this week, or just moving your body somehow. Like, I don't care what it is. Celebrate. We don't do it enough. And we have literally no idea how much time we have here. So celebrate stuff more. That's the motto. That's the motto right now. That's what I'm trying to do. It's not always easy, but sometimes we just need the reminder. So that's why I'm here, reminding you today. I appreciate the heck out of you for enduring this very long, rambly episode, but it was kind of fun. I feel like it's been a little since I've just rambled on. So
I'm going to see you guys in the next episode. We'll probably just have one episode this week. Over the next few weeks, we'll probably just stick to one on Mondays because it's a big season. On Wednesday, I'm moving, so I'm not going to put an episode out that day. But next episode is going to be me in Denver. And I can't wait to share that with you because it's going to be so freaking cool. Furnishing a two-bedroom apartment from scratch. I have a spreadsheet that I created for it with budgeting and everything. It's the coolest thing. I'm such an adult. So I love you. I'm going to see you in the next episode. And I really appreciate you for being here. Thank you so much for listening in and committing to your growth in a world that is telling you to stay small. Seriously, it means the absolute world to me. If this episode hit home for you, it would be amazing if you could share it with your friends or fellow caregivers and tag me at Ashley O Show so that I can personally thank you. That way, we can build an army of nurses, healthcare workers, and caregivers who are changing the narrative around what is possible and healing the system from the ground up. I will see you next time. I love you, and I am always rooting for you.